Hey, this is the second week of our series called Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing. This faith of ours, this journey of following after Christ, it's at the same time both intricately complex and beautifully simple. How do we keep the main thing the main thing? Especially when our day-to-day lives are lived in a surrounding culture that's just so many voices crying out for our attention and our thoughts and our resources and our time. How do we keep the main thing the main thing? It's easy to lose sight of what really matters. I spent 2 years of my life doing ministry with private school kids out in Los Angeles. And I spent most of my time at this middle school working with kids there. And this middle school had a main thing philosophy when it came to kids and athletics. Every kid that tried out made the team, and every kid on the team plays. They knew at this school that really these middle school years for most of these kids were going to be the very last chance they had to participate and actually play in these kinds of team activities. And so they staked their ground and said, this is a main thing for us. Which sounds great until it comes time to actually play the games. Because the other schools didn't share that philosophy. So it wasn't uncommon for these teams to find themselves losing. You know who that bothered the most? The parents. I'd sit in the bleachers with them and have to shield my ears. It was amazing. It's easy to lose track of the main thing. So as we're going through this main thing series, we're going to be looking at one conversation from the New Testament week after week. This conversation is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what's interesting is each account is a little bit different. So as we roll through this series, we're going to be each week kind of looking at a new idea, a new take on things. And hopefully throughout this series, we'll find ourselves getting pulled back towards this centering reality. As followers of Christ, chase after the main thing. Our scripture passage comes from Mark 12 this morning. We're going to look at Mark's version of this conversation. You can read along on the screens. Silently, that would be. You can read out loud if you really want to. That's what I'm going to do. Here we go. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You're right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." From then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Jesus, what's the main thing? Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Last week, Rick talked about loving God with all your heart. This week, it's love your neighbor week. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, again, this is Mark's version of the conversation. In Luke's gospel, which we're gonna focus on in a few weeks, in Luke's gospel, this conversation flows right into the story of the Good Samaritan, which is Jesus' answer to the question, okay, who's my neighbor? We're going to get to that in a few weeks, but it's a familiar idea. Our neighbor is any person in need wherever we find them, right? But this week, my eyes were drawn in a different direction. I started to wonder if maybe our emphasis on the Good Samaritan story sometimes causes us to miss the forest for the trees. We've been so well conditioned in church to expand our understanding of the word neighbor. So we immediately think that loving our neighbor means we go somewhere else and do things for other people that somehow live out there and are different from us. And you know what? It absolutely includes that. But that's not all that it means. What about your neighbor? For just today, let's not theologize the word neighbor. I mean your literal, actual neighbor. What does it look like to love your neighbor as yourself? For background, let's listen to Eugene Peterson's translation of John 1:14. The Word, that's Jesus, the Word took on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. This core idea of the incarnation, of God made flesh, it's rooted in Jesus' desire to be with us, to live among us. So as we start to think about loving our neighbor today, let's consider ourselves people made in the image of God, people who have moved into the neighborhood for a reason, people who, like Jesus, live among our neighbors as the presence of Christ. It's not just an accident of location. It's our mission. Look at verse 33. To love God with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Burnt offerings and sacrifices, these were the things that they did in their worship. Loving your neighbor is more important than worship, than all their worship. More important than all their religious activity, more important than all their committee meetings and potlucks. Those things aren't the main thing. Far more important than all of that, love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, if we're not loving our neighbor, all that stuff, frankly, is sinful. If this worship gathering becomes for us the only main thing to the neglect of loving our neighbor, this stinks to God. Love God. Love your neighbor. That's the main thing. So what does it look like to love your neighbor? About a month ago, there were about 20 of us from the church that went to a conference over in Bloomington, and the speakers there asked us three questions. Three questions that reveal something about what it might look like if we were actually loving our neighbor. So I want to put these questions out there for you. We had to actually write down our answers. You can just keep a tally in your head. Here we go. Number one, write down, or in your head, the first and last name of five of your neighbors. First and last name. Number two, what's something you know about each of those five that you can only know by being inside their home? Number three, describe the God-shaped yearnings and struggles in the lives of those five. If we were loving our neighbor, we'd be able to do that. There wasn't one person at that conference, me included, who could answer all three questions for five people. Hear it again. To love your neighbor as yourself, more important than all the other religious stuff we do. So think again about your immediate neighbors. Think about your answers to those three questions. And let me ask you the hard question. How are you doing in terms of loving your neighbor? Loving your neighbor begins with relationship. It begins with going out of our way to get to know and connect with those people that God has planted us among. I have a friend, Julie, who on trash day, the day they came to pick up the trash, she would keep a bag of trash by her door, and she'd watch out the window waiting for her neighbor to take her trash out so she could grab her bag and run out and take hers out too, in the hopes that that would provide a spark for a conversation. Loving your neighbor begins with finding ways to connect with your neighbor. Now, maybe you're nothing like me, but if you are, that invisible property line may as well be a 10-foot fence for all the ways that it separates us. Me and my neighbor might both be in our backyards, but we can't even see each other. And if we're ever mowing our grass at the same time and we happen to be like mowing towards the same point and we look up and make eye contact, you know what we do? We give that little man nod. And then you look back down and you don't look at him again the whole time. You're cutting your grass. Avoid all contact. Loving my neighbor starts with pushing through these ridiculous mental barriers and getting to know our neighbor. This idea is dripping with the gospel. Jesus, who took on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, not just for the sake of living in the right neighborhood, but for the sake of the neighbor. So we begin to get to know our neighbor. We welcome them into our home. We find ways to serve them, to bless them. Maybe we make a batch of cookies, not because we need more cookies, but so that we can take them some. Maybe you find ways to let your neighbor serve you. I'm lucky enough to live next door to Tim the Tool Man, and I always need help. He thinks he's valuable to me because I go and ask him, "Will you help me?" It becomes a point of contact. Before you know it, as we start to try to do this, as we start to connect with our neighbor, before you know it, we're sharing life together. Maybe we start to let them know about our struggles and they begin to let us into theirs. And I can flat out guarantee you that whoever your neighbors are, they have God-shaped yearnings and struggles. Even if they have no idea those yearnings and struggles are God-shaped. So loving your neighbor means building a friendship in which those yearnings and struggles discover expression and hope in the grace of God. You know what's starting to happen here? The kingdom of God is breaking out right here on earth, right here in our neighborhood. Look at verse 34. When Jesus saw that the man had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Jesus doesn't say this until the man gets it. You're right. Those are the main two things. Kingdom of God coming near. That's why we love our neighbor. This call to love our neighbor, it's not just a call to good deeds. It's not a call to ethics. There is a degree to which we, as followers of Christ, are doing more than that. We're bringing heaven to earth. And it might be a kind of a fine line there, because sometimes this outward activity with our neighbor may not look like spiritual activity, but in as much as we are engaging in life together, in relationship, in service, in love, in presence, presence, as much as we're doing that, the kingdom of God is growing in that neighborhood. And my hope and my prayer for my neighbor is that as I strive to love my neighbor, he'll one day find that he is not far from the kingdom of God. My hope is that my neighbor will be drawn into life in Christ through the way that I love and serve my neighbor. Last thought, as I was thinking through this passage, I remembered the Great Commission where Jesus says, "Go and be my witnesses in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's this picture of expanding concentric circles. Kind of like when you throw a rock into a lake. If we can't love our neighbor next door in that first circle, it's going to be awfully hard to love, really love, the neighbor that we find beaten up and bruised on the side of the road somewhere. If we can't start with our actual neighbor, it's inevitable that that other person, that far-off person, that person in need, that neighbor, we will serve them, but we'll serve them as an object more than as a person who's like us. If Frankly, it's a lot easier to love that faraway person than it is the person next door who's got the yappy dog that barks at 5 a.m. But you know what? I believe strongly and passionately that the place we live is the starting point. It's ground zero, if you will, for keeping the main thing the main thing. That's where we start loving our neighbor. And it grows from there. Each of us has been planted in a neighborhood, and as a follower of Christ, we understand that we live there with a purpose. We live there on mission. So as we engage our neighbor in conversation, as we share life together with our neighbor, as we invite our neighbor into our homes and into our lives, as we step into one another's joys and pains, may our neighbors come to know the main thing, the love of God, in such a way that they know the kingdom of God is not far. It's here. Let's pray.